Are you in a constant fight with your technology? And does it seem like the technology is winning? Well, you've come to the right place. It's time for Battleborn Tech with your host, Christy.
Even though your smart fridge sent you a friend request on Facebook, ignore it. It's time for Battleborn Tech every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Pacific on FM 95.1 Carson City while streaming live and later on demand at knvc.org. Call Battleborn Tech 775-241-3571. Let's troubleshoot the future together. 775-241-3571. Opinions on Battleborn Tech are those of the host and callers. This week we welcome Rebecca, Paul, and then Rebecca again. They are not the opinions of KNVC or Computer Corps, who are busy at their annual gathering to mourn Clippy, who died as Golden Geeks lived, uninvited, underappreciated, and somehow beloved.
I never liked Clippy. He was not beloved on my end.
He was definitely uninvited and underappreciated. No one expects the Clippy.
I see you're trying to record a radio show. Would you like some help? No.
Would you like some help with it? Yes.
No, I don't want help. Well, do we have anything new and different on the tech front?
Well, if you want to, if you're worried about tracking and who isn't or who shouldn't be on your browser, there's a fun site brought to us by our friends at the Electronic Frontier Foundation. That's important because it's in the URL. Cover your tracks, all one word, coveryourtracks.eff.org. So that's a little piece of the EFF.org website. What that does, Joe, that gives you a way more than you ever want to know, and it makes you really sad and wants you to go hide and never turn your computer on again. Because you test your browser, and remember cookies? Oh, that's old-fashioned to track you. Now they do a fingerprint. They take all the information your browser gives to a website to do a web page, and they say, I've never seen that browser before. That's a Christie. I know his screen size. I know his fonts that he's got installed. I know what graphics card he has. That is definitely a Christie. And what Cover Your Tracks is test to see how much your browser leaks. So if you got a couple browsers like I do, maybe you want to go there with Edge and test it, and then maybe go with Brave, then maybe go with Chrome, and see which one leaks the most. What you want, you want to be not unique. Usually you want to be unique. In this case, you want to just blend in with the crowd.
Anonymous.
So the more unique you are, the worse you are for tracking.
Oof. Well, while I run Cover Your Tracks in the background, we're going to go into our first phone call of the day. This is Rebecca, and she's got trouble with a QR code. If you remember last year and also about a month ago, she had similar issues. Those QR codes keep giving her trouble.
Go ahead, caller.
Hi, I'm Rebecca, and I'm calling. I belong to a really small church in Nevada, and we are having difficulties with our QR code.
Okay, all righty.
From what I understand, people don't want to use it because when they click on it and go to it, it goes to a site that doesn't have our church on it. Yeah. And so they're leery of using it.
Okay.
And I'm not quite sure how we can correct this problem.
Okay, so first of all, QR codes are just a machine or phone. It's almost always a phone. Phone readable links to a web page, to a URL, to a site somewhere on the internet, most likely a web page. So what your QR code is going now is it's sending them to directly to the contribution site, and the contribution site doesn't say church name right here, and so they're saying, "Did I get the right one? Is that right?"
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what's going on there is QR codes can send you anywhere, and people are rightly cautious about where they end up. One of the things you can do, you can change a QR code, of course, to a landing page of your own control and own design. So somewhere on your website, you can have, hi, this is the correct place for church name in Nevada, small church in Nevada. Go ahead and click this button to donate to our church. And then they can have a button to click or press if it's on the phone. And then that will load the page you're currently getting now, the one that doesn't have a name on it. But hopefully the landing page that says, hi, you got the right spot. This is the right church. This is where you want to be. Click here. They might be a little bit better with clicking on English words instead of scanning, I don't know what, a mosaic pattern of black and white maze things that are in the QR code. So you, right. You could do that. I believe your service that you're using allows you to name funds. Do they have, like, give your money here, and then they have different funds you could give to? Is that possible?
I don't know. I should know.
Okay. Well, they would have fund names like this fund or the coffee fund or the meeting registration fund or mission fund or whatever. What you could do is another way is get with them and say, hi, we would like to rename those funds. Now, you can't change the actual web page because it's generic, and that's what they do for everybody. But you can change your fund name. So you could have change all your fund names to, church name mission giving or church name contribution. You know, actually have the individual fund names prefixed with the church name. And so then, even though it's not on the page with the big banner at the top, when they look down, they see the places to fill in the funds. It would have the church name if you named each fund that name.
I see.
So either way, it's a hassle. One way, you got to contact your giving people and say, hey, we need to change our fund names. The other way, you have to build a little web page. I don't know which is easier for you. But you know what? And Rebecca, you could do both. If you did both, then those old QR codes that are out floating in the wild, flying somewhere, you know, old emails or bulletins or whatever they're on would work kind of because they'll get the page, but now to have church name mission giving or church name contribution or church name, and they go, oh, okay, that's, I'll put money there. And the new ones, you can put out new ones that say, that takes you to the website, which is a good thing to do anyway. And, but a special page on that website, it just says church name, donate, click here to donate. And you do that.
I see. Okay, so we would end up with two different QR codes.
Well, you already got one out there. One's out there in the wild already. Your current one. Okay, I would suggest if you go with the webpage option. Well, yeah, you would do another QR code and slowly replace it as you whack a mole and get all the ones replaced wherever you had the other ones published. Yeah, I would just replace the old one with the new one. But in the meantime, if you change the fund names. Well, the old one will be better, will be, you know, be a little bit better link for you.
I see.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for calling Battleborn Tech.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Christie. Bye.
Bye.
Well, God bless Rebecca for keep trying. And it is very good to be concerned about just where that QR code is leading you to. So maybe you want to do a landing page first. To say, hey, everything's okay. Thanks for coming. You're at the right place. And then go on to the donation page or whatever page is there just to reassure people. That's a good thing to do. Joe, one of the URL shortcuts, which is kind of next door to QR code, bit.ly, has just started doing that with their own links. So if you hit a link, they'll take a page first and say, hey, you're going to go to this place, you know, is it okay? You might think, oh, that's great. Thanks, Bit.ly. Well, there's also ads on the page. So what are you going to do? So we're all concerned about where am I going when I click this? Where am I going when I take this out of the QR code? good to consider and good to test it out with your friends and yourself to see what that experience is.
Okay. Well, Cover Your Track says I have very strong protections on my Brave browser. Hooray.
Oh, good. You're just boring. Boring is good.
Yep. Anonymous, boring. Milquetoast, Anodyne. Yep. That's how I want my browser. But speaking of partitions, here comes Paul, and he has some trouble with his disk partitions. Kind of geeky here.
Go ahead, caller.
Yes, Christy, this is Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
I've purchased a new computer for our church.
Okay.
And I've been looking at it, and it has a hard drive in it, like most computers have.
There you go.
But it doesn't have any partitioning on that drive.
Oh,
and I'm a little bit curious, because every computer I've looked at in the past, that drive has been partitioned into things for programs and then things for data.
Oh, my gosh. So, you go back a ways there, Paul.
I do.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I remember them days. Back in the old days, I don't know, XP days and 95, 98. And I don't know when they quit doing it, but they used to have an idea that you put all your data on one partition of the hard drive, and then if the operating system got completely torn up crazy, which happened about 18 months, you could just delete that partition and get out your good old CD, DVD, and put it in and reinstall the operating system on the newly blank partition and still have all your data over on the other partition. Now, that got a little complicated as we got into registries and the computer. The programs that there got so entwined with the operating system and the registry, you really couldn't do that as easy. And it used to think, well, it gives you more protection, but it turned out most of the time the problem was the hard drive failed. And when the hard drive failed, it took both the partitions out, your OS
right.
and your data, so sadness. So we don't do that
Very
anymore.
Sad.
Yeah, we don't do that anymore. There are partitions there. They just don't have a drive letter. There's usually four partitions on a GPT format, which is a newer partitioning standard. But it doesn't show up as a drive letter because it's an operating system partition and recovery and all sorts of things. So what you can do if you're still thinking, I don't want my data on the same drive of my hard as my OS, you can get another physical hard drive, an actual physical hard. You can make a partition and put them in, but there's really no benefit. One of the things that have gone on, you know, with Windows 11 even and Windows 10, even back to Windows 8, there's been like a couple clicks and you can reinstall the whole operating system. You have to reinstall some non-Microsoft programs, but the data is still there. And with people having almost everything on the web, their emails on the web, their banking's on the web, all their stuff's on the web, and they don't really have any programs installed, it's really simple to reinstall the operating system. I do it a lot at the repair place I work at. So it's not really any benefit to have a partition you can blank and put an OS back on. Some people add another hard drive. Are you following me? I'm talking a lot.
Oh, yeah. No, go ahead.
Okay. So some people put another hard drive in. Maybe they have a really fast SSD for the operating system. Maybe have the really big spinning drive for their data, maybe, to store stuff. And what you can do, you can use what's called libraries, where you see in Windows documents, pictures, videos, downloads. You can move those over to the other drive, the other hard drive, if you want. You can do that. And I don't know if that protects a whole lot more than backups and, would be a lot better. There's not really any big reason to do that unless you just want to separate out your data and maybe you have just a huge big library of videos and you're always move them around. Maybe you want to store them on a big old hard drive. But yeah, the old operating system partition, data partition, that brings me back. No, don't do that.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that it's easy to fix.
Well, it theoretically. I'll tell you this, it's a lot easier than it was. I mean, it was crazy before trying to get the OS back on the partition. A lot of going around, but now it's a couple clicks. Shift restart. When you click on restart and hold down the shift key while you click on the restart, will get you into Eufy, which will allow you to troubleshoot. And one of the troubleshoot is reset my system, and you can reset it keeping the data or reset it with erasing the data, and you can get the OS from the local copy, or you can get the OS from the cloud if you got a wired. You have a wired connection.
I've been wondering how you got into that. I know it used to be that you could power up your browser or your current version of Windows right before you did it. And you could go into a protected mode, that sort of thing.
Yeah, you can still sort of do that. There's actually a registry thing that you can do to get into an F8 kind of situation that goes all the way back to Win 7 and stuff. You can do that.
Wow.
And you can still boot from a DVD. You can still boot from a USB. You can get a USB recovery. You still can do that, but if it's working at all, and which, you know, and you can usually get shift restart getting into troubleshooting, or if it won't boot to the desktop, it goes into Eufy troubleshooting anyhow after three failed boots. And from there, you can say, reinstall the system, and you can do that. And it puts a little folder of, here's all the stuff that I uninstalled. So you have a treasure map to follow. To put back the programs that it untangled. So the long, long answer to why don't we have data partitions anymore?
Okay.
All right.
Well, thanks
for
taking the call.
Way to be alert there, Paul, and good luck with that new computer.
Okay. Take care. Bye now.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, partitions aren't something you often worry about, except if you're going from moving from cloning one drive to another, and sometimes that gets a little tedious because the recovery partition and da-da-da-da and all that. There's a lot of stuff on the hard drive that you can't see anymore that has to do with the way they set up the drive to work. So it's good to do that, and the old keep one partition for the operating system, one partition for the drive, as we discussed, not really a thing anymore, but it may be a thing to put your data on a totally separate physical hard drive. Requires a little planning and a little discipline, but that's something you can do if that's a concern to you.
And it takes a lot more effort in Windows 11 because it just splits everything every which way and then tries to stuff things into one drive and can get pretty
If you turn your back on the
Windows
computer,
11.
You're suddenly logged into OneDrive and everything's going there. Yeah, that's fair. That's legit.
Yeah, and then you never have enough space on OneDrive, and you wind up having to pay Microsoft even more money.
Or pay a repair shop to untangle you from OneDrive, which isn't a trivial matter, I can assure you.
No, it is not. Well, here's our last phone call of the day. It's Rebecca again, and this time it's Google Voice.
Go ahead, caller.
Hi, this is Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca.
And I have a question. I'm a member of a very small church in Reno, and we're watching every penny. And for years, we had a Magic Jack.
Okay, a VoIP service that remains nameless. But yes, okay, I am familiar with this. We don't say product names on community radio service, sure.
Well, anyway, somehow the person who was monitoring that didn't want to do it anymore. And when we tried to renew it, we had to redo all the paperwork, and the other person was elderly, and we just dropped it. So we haven't had a phone for a year or so. But we really do need to do something that is inexpensive because we don't have a secretary or someone sitting at church. Really, the phone call a phone okay. would just need to record people's questions and okay. give the information on what time worship is.
Okay, well, there's a lot of VoIOPs out there, like the commercial one that you mentioned earlier. But that's basically to replace your phone at home, kind of, where you make phone calls in and out. Now, they do have plans for both only incoming and only outgoing. Most folks, and it's a free service, so it could go away anytime. Most folks are over at Google Voice. And what that is, you do need a cell phone to hook it to. It wants a cell phone number as part of the account setup. So it's got to be married up to that just for security and also for verification. But you could get a Google, you could create, or if the church had a Google or a Gmail account, you could go on over to voice@google.com and sign up for your number and get that number. And you could change the greeting and also you can set it just for a recording. I mean, if you don't answer, it's going to record. The great thing about that is you don't have to dedicate the computer to it like some other services that you got to have it plugged in and running all the time. With Google Voice, it's out there in cloud for good or for world. So you can log in from anywhere. And if you have the password and all that good stuff, you can, look at your voice messages from any computer. And that sounds like you want. And then you can use your own cell phone or whoever's doing it to call them back if you need. And,
yeah. So, if we did something like that, people might want to call in. And the person whose cell phone it's attached to wouldn't need to answer the phone.
No, it's just for a registration. It's just to keep the spammers and the scammers away. You know, they actually have a little piece that they can get to if somebody starts abusing the service. That's all.
But does the phone ring?
If you wanted to, you would have to set up Google Voice on your cell phone to do that. Some people do, some people don't. It doesn't have to, no. The cell phone is just for registration. If you want to go beyond that, you can. Like I've got several Google numbers, and in fact, the organization I work with has we looked into a lot of stuff and ended up with Google Voice anyhow. So that does ring a phone number. I got other phones that just go onto the computer, and in fact, we're talking right now. We're talking on Google Voice. So yeah, and only one of those would ring my cell phone.
I see.
Yeah.
So, but the way to retrieve the messages is you have to retrieve them on a computer.
Well, you don't have to. I mean, you can set it up on your cell phone and retrieve them that way. I don't know. It's depending how you go, but yeah.
And if you were using your phone to retrieve the messages, would you retrieve the messages through your cell phone or through your computer that you're getting on your cell phone?
Through the Wi-Fi internet or your cell phone internet. Internet. I think I misled you. The cell phone is just for registration. just for security, just for registration. After that, you can ignore it. But, you know, if you want to make changes to account or something goes wrong, they'll contact that cell phone number. But you can use it or not use it as much as you want with Google Voice. You can have it. You'd have another app on your phone, and just like a message service, if a call came in to the Google Voice app, will ring, if you will, if you set it up that way. You probably don't want to, but you might. You could go your Google Voice, and you could say, hi, this is the church, and this is our services, where this is our location. If this is an emergency, you could call this number. And have the cell phone of whoever is on that, and you can just have that as an announcement of service times and for publicity, and they can leave a message as well. Works really well.
Why would Google do this service for free?
Well, why do they do a lot of things for free? They do Gmail for free and forever, and this was actually a free service that they bought. 20 years ago, and they've been keeping it up. Google is as Google does, you know, they do that, you know.
Okay,
Okay, well, this is good information because looks like we might be able to have some phone without paying anything except for that we need to set it up. So where would I go to google.com to get started?
Well, yeah, you can, but it'd be a lot of swimming through stuff. But you want to go to voice.google.com. So voice.google.com. Yeah, and it'll walk you through it. You got to watch, you may want to create a brand new Gmail account. So that'd be another setup kind of thing. Or if the church has a Gmail account, you know, you could hook it up to that, but you know, that kind of marries it up. And then you have to consider whose cell phone, because you need access to that cell phone to make any changes. So
I see. So it really should be somebody who's going to be there a long time.
Well, or somebody you trust and will give it up when needed. You know, it's not too much to change, but it is something to change it.
Right.
So.
Okay. Well, that is good information. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for calling Battleborn Tech and good luck with your VoIP services and, give us a call, or maybe we'll call you.
Okay. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, most of the VoIP, that's a great word, it's a voice over IP, voice over internet protocol programs are made to replace a switchboard on a company-wide, you know, with extensions and all this stuff. Ring Central is one that comes to mind. Rakuten, am I saying that right, Joe?
Yes, you are.
Rakuten from Japan is the most popular alternative to Google Voice. You may want to check that out. They do have a free version that might fit you if you say, hey, I don't want anything to do with Google. So there are options up there. You just be searching on Voice over IP, VOIP, to find out things. And you can check out Rakuten.
And also your internet provider may offer you phone service as well, which is also a form of voice over IP.
That's a great idea as well. Yeah, you might already be paying for it, or you could get it for a real reasonable cost if you bundle. Good
yeah,
idea.
It's a buyer's market out there, so you have the luxury of looking around and saying, I'll take that one.
Yeah.
So, well, anyhow, we are reaching the end of our show. And how about some wise words as we head out of here?
And we thank Paul and Rebecca Doubley for being our caller. You can be on the show by calling 775-241-3571 anytime from anywhere. Leave a message to set up a time to get your quick question on the show. You call, we tech. No worries. For consulting and tutorials, visit your local neighborhood computer shop, Carson City's Library's Computer for Beginners class, Carson City Senior Center's Tech Help, or a computer user group like the CarsonCityLytics.org, meeting third Saturdays at Computer Core in Carson City. Our theme music advised Breakmaster Cylinder, break like an unexpected restart experience in Windows. This show is produced and polished by Joe Bly, our radio redeemer of Battleborn Tech. The only person who listens and corrects us in real time, Anthony, texting truth to radio power. Some of our jokes and puns come courtesy of ChatGPT. Don't blame the humans. Get even telling your AI client that you would prefer to talk to Clippy. It's like asking for the management. This community nonprofit volunteer radio station welcomes your support. Visit knvc.org and click the donate button. Our operation is 100% community funded, receiving no government funding. Our email is questions@battleborn.tech. That's BECH and questions with an S on the end. Our latest links are bbtl.ink/stats. This has been Battleborn Tech, a registered service mark of Christy Ramsey. Rewind this episode or speed listen to the ones you missed at knvc.org in the local program section or bbtl.ink/shows. You call, we tech. Tune in Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Pacific right here on KNVC FM 95.1.